worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. It's all of Psalm 1. Then looking briefly in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verses 1 and 2 of Romans chapter 12. And then finally, then looking specifically in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Father, we thank you once again for the wonderful and the powerful gift your word is to us in so many ways. Thank you for how that your word guides us, counsels us, molds us, shapes us, empowers us to walk more and more closely with you. And your word helps us with every passing day as we read and meditate on it to become more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for the strength, the grace, and the power that flows into our minds, our hearts, our lives as we take the time to read and meditate on it daily. Help us to be wise as parents, as dads and moms, to be wise enough to teach and train and guide our children to read your word daily and to help them to draw on the grace and the wisdom that comes from it to bless their lives as well. We thank you and we praise you for this day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Father, we're thankful for this community of listeners that you've gathered together today to hear what you have to say to them. Father, we pray that they will go away thinking of what you've said to them and clinging to that and living on that. Father, we love you. We praise you. We lift high the precious name of Jesus, Jesus Christ, your Son, willing to die on a terrible cross for us. We thank you for that. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I'd like to encourage you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. And hope you'll check out some of the postings that are on there. Also, we want to ask you to please take time daily to pray, both for the ministry of the Hour of Intercession, but also pray for the ministry of the American Family Association as a whole. We very much need and desire your prayers. Your prayers mean a lot because, again, we all need each other, whether we realize it or not. There are no supermen or women out there. God has made us in such a way that, where we need one another's prayers and encouragement and strength. So let us remember to pray daily for each other. Father, we thank you once again for every believer listening and all those that are part of our listening family across the American Family Radio Network. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom and anoint us all afresh with the spirit of prayer. Bless and greatly strengthen all of our prayer lives. Bless each of our prayer lives indeed. Expand their territories. Cause your hand to be mightily upon them. Keep them from evil that they may not cause pain. In Jesus' name. And with every passing day, help us more and more to walk out the life of the prayer warrior you've called each and every one of us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, today we invite you to focus with us on a topic, the topic Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. Again, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. And I started out reading from Psalm 1. And of course, you know, it's interesting to take the time to look at all the books of the Bible and to see how God chooses to introduce that book. Well, of course, the book of Psalms, the first psalm is, of course, Psalm 1. And this psalm is largely focused on the importance of being a student of God's Word. I want to take a moment specifically to read it through again. It's 6 short verses. But listen again to the insight God is giving to men and women about the importance of being a student of God's powerful Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, all of Psalm 1. Now, in God's Word also, we find the Ten Commandments in 2 different places. In the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. And then we find it once again in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to take time now to read through Exodus 20 verses 1 through 17, reading through the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the 3rd and 4th generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. Again today, as we're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage, I want to remind us that it's so important for us to recognize that God's Word is a guidebook for all of life, for all people, for all men and women, for all boys and girls, for all cultures, for all groups of people, for all nations. All the problems we see in the world are a result of people failing to follow the wisdom and the counsel of the Ten Commandments. And in fact, the Ten Commandments, in a very real way, summarizes all the wisdom of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And so it's the moral law of God, and God's moral law does not change. And so it's a very good teaching template, a teaching tool to use to teach, to live by, and to teach and train our children as well. So as we're looking today specifically at the topic of Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage, keep in mind we live in a world that desperately needs the wisdom and the counsel of God on every issue, including as we look at the topic of real Christian manhood. We live in a world where in many ways we see the devil attacking men and manhood from all directions. And we see where you have many men that don't seem to understand by a long shot what Christian manhood is about. Sadly, some men that seem to be wanting to become female, and so many other issues that are going on in our culture and in our world. It's important that we look to the Word of God for guidance and direction and accurate understanding and truth about every topic, including the topic of Christian manhood. And so I want to invite you to look with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and specifically starting at verse 15. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, it tells us these words, and this is insight for Christians as a whole, but we're going to be looking and focusing largely on God's wisdom and counsel for men, Christian men, as well as men who are looking towards getting married as well. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, verses 15 to 33 of Ephesians chapter 5. And let me say about this particular passage, this is a great passage for any husband and wife to take time to read and study and pray over together. It's a great passage for couples that are looking towards getting married as well. And also, it's a great passage for us as parents to use to teach and train our children about truths that relate to marriage. If their sons and daughters are hoping to marry one day, of course, this has a lot of insight, wisdom, this simple passage about truths that relate to marriage, truths that we all need to know and grasp and understand, and truths we should pass on to our children as well. Amongst other things, and I would mention, of course, as I've mentioned, I'm especially talking to men and truths that we need to teach our sons, our boys, and our sons in particular. But we need to teach our sons to strive to be spiritual leaders. In other words, be someone first that knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The greatest need in the life of any man or woman is the need to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his or her life. There's no greater need that we have in all of life than that of getting saved and coming to know Christ. And once we come to know Christ, your biggest problem in life is solved. But from there forward, our goal is to carry out God's call on our lives. And so men need to know Jesus and follow him. Father, open our eyes to help us to better see and understand the need for us to do all we can to help our children come to know Christ. Help us to be wise enough to share Christ with them and encourage them to seek God. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. We'll be right back.
Trust in you.
music of Planet Shakers. Only Way, a great reminder that the only way to salvation, the only way to receive eternal life is through Jesus Christ. Again, The Only Way by Planet Shakers. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. And we're looking at truths specifically drawing from, largely from Ephesians chapter 5, but these are truths that men and women, that is, who are husbands and wives, should seek to live by. But also, these are truths and insights we as parents should teach and pass on to our children as well. And of course, in this case, as we're looking largely at men, truths we need to teach our sons in particular. Again, number one, we're to teach them to be a spiritual leader. Psalm 1 that we read earlier talks about the importance of men being a man who doesn't follow the counsel of the world, but he delights in the Word of God. Every Christian man should strive to be a spiritual leader in his home, and part of what that means is he needs to read and study the Word of God for himself, and he should lead his family in reading the Word of God and praying in the home together as well. Sometimes people say, well, I'm so busy, our schedule's so full, we don't have time. You don't have time for what we choose to do. Life is full and busy, but it's full and busy of the things we choose to do. And God is to be our priority above all else in life. And so if God is not in our schedule, it's because we've chosen to not put him there. It's critical that we understand that we need to be honest with ourselves. Whatever you make first in your life, you have time for what's first. And God is to be first. He's to be number one. So making time to read the Word is to be a top priority for every believer. And as men, we're to take time to read and study the Word in our homes, and we're to lead our families in reading the Word together and praying together. Taking time to do that in your home is very, very important. Also, as Christian men, we're to be providers as well. We're to be good providers. Now, something I want to say very clearly. Sadly, there are many people in the world that seem to want to not work. Well, the reality is this. Again, godly men work and work hard. That's a part of being a man. It's innate in the man, a man that loves God, that he will work and work hard. A lazy man does not honor God. Again, one of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man. I'm reminded of many years ago, my grandfather, he was a dairy farmer. He worked very hard. And I remember he had a little phrase. He said, if he had a lazy bone in his body, he'd cut it out and throw it in Tibby Creek. Well, the fact is, it's sad when a man won't work. There's something sad about a lazy man or a lazy woman, but something especially sad about a lazy man. Real men should want to work and work hard. In fact, the Word of God says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, it says in verse 10, it says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So in other words, again, if a man refuses to work, then according to Scripture, then he must not want to eat. Because real men are supposed to be willing to work, and not only work and work hard, we should be working in such a way that not only can we take care of ourselves, but men are to take care of their families. That's a God-ordained responsibility to take care of your family. Your goal is to take care of them well. So again, being a lazy man does not honor God. Part of our responsibility as parents, teach our sons to work and to work hard. Our sons and our daughters as well, but especially our sons. And so it's important to teach them to be a good provider. Thirdly, to be a protector. As men, we're to be willing to lay down our lives for our wives and children if the need arises. But protecting them is a very important part of what we're called to do as well. So also, we live in a world where, sadly, you have many boys that not only are they not protectors, but too often you find boys and of course, grown men that will hit and beat up on women. Well, keep in mind, Ephesians 5 says that we're to love our wives as our own bodies. Now, part of what that means is a husband should never strike his wife, never hit her under any circumstances. If you accidentally bite your tongue, you don't slap yourself, you don't kick yourself, you don't punch yourself. You protect, you try to console yourself. Well, the fact is, you're to love your wife as your own body. There's never a time when a man is to strike his wife. Now, ladies, don't you hit your husbands either. That's important as well. But the fact is, physical violence has no place in a marriage. And so, again, when men beat up on women, there's a time in which, a time for her to step away from the home and get protection, because God does not require you to stay there and get beat up, and even sometimes, sadly, killed. The reality is it's wrong for a man to hit a wife, period, under any circumstances. Physical violence has no place in a marriage. So that's important truth. So we need to teach our sons, boys, don't hit girls. Real men protect women and children. They look out for them. They don't beat up on them. Again, that's a bully. And the reality is actually a man that beats up on a woman, he's a wimp anyway. Real men protect women and look out for them. We need to teach our boys to be protectors. Fourthly, teach our boys to be good role models, to live in such a way that our children can learn what a Christian looks like by watching the basic example of dad. Now, the fact is, none of us are perfect except Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate role model. But the fact is, we should carry ourselves in such a way that basically we point our children to Jesus Christ through the life we live and the lifestyle as well. I want to take a moment now specifically to read an article that we shared on the AFA stand, an article about being a godly man. The article is entitled Biblical Images of Manhood. Again, Biblical Images of Manhood. And if you'd like to get a copy, just email us, jparker@afa.net. But Biblical Images of Manhood. In the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, there are many truths, insights, and stories that help to paint a clear picture, a portrait of sorts of what a man is. They specifically paint a picture of what a godly man is. Now, I should say very quickly, there's only one man in all of the Word of God that perfectly paints such a picture for us. That man, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone stands as our only perfect role model. He's the only man who lived a perfect life without sin. There are, though, other individual characteristics that we find in some of the other men of the Bible that are definitely characteristics to be desired. A number of these traits could be appreciated by any and all men. In looking at the lives of many characters in the Bible, we learn important attributes and characteristics that we as men of God should seek to attain and to walk out in our lives as well. Also, in this day and time, there's a tremendous need in the world for a clear understanding of what a real man, a godly man, is. And there's an outstanding need to paint such a picture, a portrait of what a godly man looks like based on the wisdom of God's precious word. Well, what are some biblical characteristics and some biblical standards that help us see and define what a godly man looks like? Well, number one, he has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. Number two, he seeks to read the Holy Word of God for himself daily, as pointed out, of course, in Psalm 1. Number three, he spends time in prayer daily. Number four, he seeks to have a time daily to bring the family together to read the Word of God, to teach from the Word, and pray together. Number five, he takes and or makes time to train and instruct his children, teaching them about God, the Word of God, and teaching them wisdom for all areas of life. And of course, that's powerfully addressed in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9 and other passages. Number six, he seeks to lead and take his family to church regularly, such as worship service on Sundays, Bible studies on Wednesdays as well. Number seven, he has a sense of mission in his life. He seeks with passion to fulfill the specific call of God on his life, whatever that calling and those callings may be. Number eight, he works hard to provide for his family. Keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Number nine, he's a protector for his family. Number 10, he lives the life of a good role model for his family and others. And number 11, he has the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility to deal with problems head on. He takes responsibility and does not run from it. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. A real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious, and they are to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors women and girls. A real man does not take advantage of women. He respects women and will not be involved with a woman sexually unless he has won her heart and put a ring on her finger in marriage first. Boys ask questions while men give answers. Boys play house while men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying that school is a waste of their time. Real men recognize the importance of and the value of education and preparation in life. They desire to be educated and or to gain a skill in order to reach their full potential in life. The world in which we live is in tremendous need of faithful, godly men. Let us pray daily that God will raise up many more of them who understand the importance and the place and the call of God upon their lives and who seek to fulfill it. Let us pray that God would raise up more men that desire to fulfill the call of God that is upon their lives, and pray that God will place more of them in our world, in our homes, and in our society and culture as well. Again, the title of this article is Biblical Images of Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, just email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Father, thank you, Lord, for every man that's listening. And thank you, Lord, for every parent that's listening as well. Thank you for the opportunity you give us as men to strive to become godly men that love Jesus and run after Jesus every day. Anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace and empower us to be godly men that seek to honor you by following you faithfully every day and seeking to fulfill all of your call and your callings upon our lives. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the world today desperately needs godly men that will love you and will seek to honor you in every area of life. And we thank you and praise you for this opportunity. And Father, Lord, help us as parents to be wise enough to teach and train and guide our children, especially our boys, to grow up to be what you'd have them to be. Help us to know that training our boys and girls is very important, yet at the same time we see the world seems to have such a deficit when it comes to godly men that know how to care themselves in a way that they honor you first and they live an honorable life in the world. Father, raise us up as parents to be wise enough to do all we can to teach, to train, to mold and shape our boys to be godly men, boys that will grow up to be godly men, that will seek to be men after your own heart, men who are committed to prayer, men who are diligent students of your word, men who live your word day by day. We thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, many truths and insights are so helpful and encouraging for us as men to grasp. I think of just a few other truths and insights to consider specifically. For example, you know, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, part of what that scripture very specifically means is that sex is for married men and women only. It's not to be between boyfriend and girlfriend, not to be between casual friends, not between two men, not between two women, only for married men and women. So sex is strictly to be within that category. So again, that scripture, Hebrews 13:4, again, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So keep in mind, when men and women are dating, keep in mind, boyfriends don't get husband privileges. And it's important that men understand that and that women understand that as well. And the reality is God's word has counsel and wisdom to help all of us if we hear it and obey it. You're listening to the Hour of Intercessions. We're looking today at the topic, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. We'll be right back.
my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? In his presence I find safety, just knowing he's near. Brings joy in my sadness, peace in the time of storm. Yeah. Brings hope when I'm hopeless. Yeah, protects me from all harm.
From the Walls Group, All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic, Biblical Insights on Manhood, Relationships, and Marriage. And so as we're looking to God's Word, remember this, it's important that we understand in all of life, we're to be guided by the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Too often in our world, people go by their opinions, their perspectives, and people will begin their what they have to say with, well, let me tell you what I think about this. Well, you know, the reality is the only opinion that really matters in life is God's opinion. And if our opinion does not line up with the Word of God, our opinion is not worth a hill of beans. God's Word has truth that will bless us and set us free and bless your life. The fact is, men and women's answers apart from God lead to death, trouble, and loss. God's Word leads to life, blessing, and fullness of life. So reading and finding out what God's Word has to say about a topic or issue is always to be a priority for us as believers, as men and women of God, because God's way is the best way to do anything. So again, the Psalm 119:105 says, Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Live by the wisdom of the truth that says, find out what God has to say about the issue, whatever it might be. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it has some important insight specifically about marriage and sexuality. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. But I say this as a concession, not as a commandment. For I wish that all men were even as I myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in this manner and another in that. But I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain even as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn with passion. Verses 1 through 9. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now again, this passage has some very important insight for a Christian marriage. And keep in mind, God's word has guidance and counsel in either direct statement or in principle with every issue, every topic. You can't come up with a topic that the Bible has nothing to say about. Again, either in direct statement or in principle, God's word has guidance to help us. Well, I think of this as a pastor for most of the last 45 years. This is an area, the topic of marriage and sexuality. It's a huge topic. It's a very important topic to deal with from a Bible perspective, because today we see where many people are trying to deviate from what God's word has to say and come up with their own answers, their own ideas. According to the word of God, God's word lets us clearly know that there are two genders. We're made male and female in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 1, it tells us in verse 27, it says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And so God's word is always right. So there are only two genders. But sadly, we live in a world that tries to say there's LGBTQ, and some say 52 genders, some say a whole lot more than that. Well, the fact is, if left up to the devil and the things he encourages, people may decide there are a million different genders. But God's word says there are only two, male and female, and God is always right. He's always correct, so following God's guidance is very, very important. Well, I think down through the years, pastorally, an issue I've run into is you have many believers that seem to, many persons that decide, well, before I get married, let me just try out the product before I get married. They decide to, as the common term is, they shack up. They decide to live together before they get married. That's against the word of God. It's against the will of God. It's sin. It's wrong. Again, it's important to understand God wants you to get married before you come together as husband and wife and before you come together in the marriage bed, because the reality is anything outside of God's way is sin. It's wrong. And remember this, sin always leads to loss. No matter what the situation, sin will always lead to loss. Now, sometimes you might think, well, I did this or I did that, and I didn't see where it hurt anything. Well, all that means is you didn't see it. But sin always leads to loss 100% of the time. In fact, the Bible lets us know the wages of sin is death. So ultimately, it can lead to death as well. So the better thing to do is to decide that you're going to keep yourself sexually pure until marriage. Now, some people will say in this day and time, that's impossible. Well, that's not impossible. Maybe tough because we live in a world full of sexual temptation, but it's not impossible. Men and women can keep themselves sexually pure until they get married if they choose to. And it's so wise because there are many reasons. Number one, we should do it because God let us know that's the way to do it. Wait until you get married. Again, the scripture, Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the marriage bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. So the main reason is because God directs us to keep ourselves until marriage. But also, there are other reasons too, because it helps you to guard your heart. But also, many people don't realize there are many very dangerous sexually transmitted diseases out there, some of which will cause people to be sterile for the rest of their lives, some of which will cause a person to have a disease or diseases for the rest of their lives, and some of them can kill you. And so STDs are nothing to play with, but many people act like there's no such thing. It's important to know God's looking out for us. So when he tells us something, following his way is always the best way, whatever God's will might be. Well, sadly, what we have to deal with too many times, and I think of pastorally, too often you have unmarried couples who they're very sexually active, and then you have married couples who it seems like their sexual life has almost died. Well, that's the devil's strategy. He wants people to be sinning outside of marriage, and he wants to shut down the sexual union. Let me say this very clearly. Scripture, from Scripture, we need to understand the sexual union within marriage is very important. The sexual relationship between a husband and wife nourishes a marriage. And as long as a couple is physically able to come together sexually, they should do so, and as often as they choose to. But keep in mind, there are problems, though, when you have couples that decide, well, I'm too mature for that. I don't need that anymore. Well, that's not Bible. The Word of God lets us know, again, marriage is honorable and all, and the marriage bed undefiled. And again, the sexual relationship nourishes the marriage, and it's an important part of marriage as well. So if a couple is physically able, then that should be an important part of marriage. And often couples really need to pray about this, because you have sometimes the husband or wife may decide that for whatever reason they don't need that anymore. Well, that's not biblical. So following God's counsel is very important. It dishonors God when either one or the other spouse decides to shut down that relationship. Again, following God's word is always the route for us to go. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us to look in your word for counsel, wisdom, and grace in order to honor you in every area of our lives, including marriage, Christian marriage, and relationships and sexuality. Help us to know, Lord, that following your word and your will always bless us, will always strengthen us, will always encourage us and help us. Help us to be wise enough to be husbands and wives who will read the Word of God together and read and study it and look and examine what your Word has to say in order to know how to be more God-honoring husbands and more God-honoring wives as well. And Lord, help us as parents to be wise enough to use the Word of God to teach and train and guide our children to know what to look forward to as they prepare for marriage as well. And help us to know, Lord, that we can always depend on, trust, and follow your word. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Let me remind you once again, the article I read earlier was entitled Biblical Images of Manhood. If you'd like to get a copy, just email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Once again, the Psalm 119, verse 105 is one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Word of God, and it summarizes wisdom for us to live by all our lives. God's Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Remember, in either direct statement or in principle, God's Word deals with every issue, every topic, or every matter. So looking to God's Word for guidance is very, very important, very wise, a wise way to live. As we finish our time today, once again, if you're listening and you have never made the step of choosing to invite Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, remember this. If you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with God, you need to have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's such a serious issue. If you're not saved or you're not sure, I invite you to pray this prayer with me in order to make the step of giving your heart and committing your heart and your life and decide that you want to fully give your life to the Lord. Would you pray this prayer with me now? Lord Jesus, thank you so very much for loving me so much with an everlasting love. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to live my whole life for you. You told us in your word, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I'm calling on your name. Save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We definitely hope to hear from you if you prayed that prayer and gave your life to the Lord, or if you prayed it as a rededication prayer, we'd like to hear from you. Again, if you'd like to get either the article we shared or any of the prayer or discipleship tools that we provide, we're glad to share them with you. We want you to take them, use them, and pass them on to others so that we can be fellow partners in doing the work of making disciples. My email once again, jparker@afa.net. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercessions. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.